Welcome in, everybody. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. Happy Saturday. Happy game day eve as the Eagles take on the Atlanta Falcons in Atlanta tomorrow night, their first primetime game of the year against the Falcons. Geno, much like it was last year when they took on the Falcons to open up the entire NFL season on Thursday night. And all I can say is I really am hoping for a blowout because my heart can't do any more of these with time expiring goal line stands that the Eagles have had to pull off against the Falcons the last 2 years in pretty big games. Of course, 2017, that was the biggest risk of them not winning the Super Bowl was right that play that the ball goes right through Julio Jones's hands.
It was the only time between the first round of the playoffs and the first play of the Super Bowl that I was at all nervous. That Minnesota game, they got their jitters out real early, allowing a big drive, and then
Najee
Good
allowed the touchdown on that one.
Yep,
by the way,
yeah,
which is
and then
really
once Robinson got that pick, it was game yep. over. But yeah, at that point, your defense just allowed him over 100 yards. Matt Ryan has been on targeting him all night, and you have Jalen Mills matched up against them one on one in the red zone. It's just a nightmare. And then the same situation happens again the next year, and it's another nightmare. And it's like it's Groundhog Day. We're seeing the same thing. Every time I hear Chris Collinsworth's voice, I look on the field, it's an Atlanta Falcons jersey. Like, I'm sick of playing them in primetime. I'm ready to get this game over with. This is almost a trap game for how bad Atlanta played last week against Minnesota. Like, this Eagles team better come ready to play tomorrow because I'm real nervous about this game.
And some of the success the Eagles have had, while they've been able to have that success, and I shouldn't say little success, the Eagles have beaten the Falcons, I think, 5 of the last 7 matchups. So they really have gotten – the Falcons have not beaten the Eagles since – well, actually, the last time it was in Atlanta. Remember this one, Geno, week 1 of 2015. It was Sam Bradford and DeMarco Murray's debut, where DeMarco Murray averaged like 1 yard a carry.
Why do we always just play them in the beginning of the season?
I know,
like,
right?
We get them in the middle of the year. But that was the Kiko Alonso interception day, too.
The one-handed pick that we all thought yep. was, oh boy, the trade actually might work out. But
yeah, you
know,
right.
And then we know how.
We had a glimmer of hope.
Instead, we were playing inside linebacker musical chairs that year with D'Amico Ryans, Michael Kendricks, Kiko. There's another guy I'm missing, right? Rookie Jordan Hicks.
Yes, sir. Yeah, they had quite the four in there, and that was a bad team, though. So let's not recollect on that. We have a good team going into tomorrow. Atlanta is a little dinged up at the moment, so there are some favorable matchups in this game that we can definitely get into.
Very dinged up and just not producing when it comes to the offensive line. And that's a big thing we're going to talk about in today's episode in segment 2 and 3 is how the Eagles defense will continue to be key here, the defensive line, but specifically the red zone defense is how they've really been able to beat the Falcons the past 2 games. Despite Julio Jones having some big performances in the yard department, I also want to get into that, Geno. Has Julio really had as much success against this Philadelphia defense as the numbers say? We'll get into that wrapping up the show. But, you know, as we take a trip down memory lane here, as we like to do on the podcast, someone from 2017, a key member, even though the numbers weren't always there and the production wasn't really there a whole lot, wide receiver Torrey Smith decided to retire after 8 seasons in the NFL. And while most of it was with the Baltimore Ravens, he's up in the top 4 in almost every statistical category for the Ravens when it comes to receiving the ball. So he is a Raven when he retires through and through. But at the same time, I mean, we as a franchise can really appreciate him as well because he really was big for the Eagles from a leadership standpoint. And also, Geno, like in big games, he had 100 receiving yards against the Rams in what I thought was the most important regular season game. The crazy botched interception by Ken O'Neal that went off his knee, right? It goes right into the chest of Torrey Smith.
Arguably the most important play of the entire playoffs.
And then, because, yeah, you're right. I mean, the Falcons could have got at least 3 points there at the end of the half, and then who knows what happens there. And the flea flicker the next week in the NFC title, and even he put up 50 receiving yards in the Super Bowl, including a miniature helmet catch that people kind of forget about. So I have very fond memories of Torrey Smith. I think he was, look, he's not DeSean Jackson. We can really appreciate DeSean now as that, I mean, not third guy now with Aguilar and Alshon, but that third receiver, not on the depth chart order-wise, but next to Alshon and Aguilar. I think Torrey Smith was the best of, or at least I enjoy the most out of, you know, the past 2 years. They've gone through Smith, Mike Wallace, Jordan Matthews, and Golden Tate. I think Torrey Smith of all of them was the most successful, even though the numbers aren't crazy.
He's always been a pro's pro, and he's been a guy that this team coveted for a while. There was talk two straight trade deadlines in a row that they were going to try to trade for him. the last year Chip Kelly and then Doug Peterson's year two, and then they go out and get him for that 17 season. An element that really put them over the edge, and we were looking for a Torrey Smith replacement last season in Mike Wallace. We didn't end up getting it, and hey, we got a better one in DeSean Jackson this go around. But he was an absolute necessity for that team to click. Like you said, Aguilar had a big season, Alshon had a big season, Ertz had a big season, all because of the threat of Torrey Smith. There's plenty of times you would see the safeties respecting Torrey Smith as that deep threat, because even though he wasn't the greatest receiver skill set wise, he still fit a mold of the player that he, in that role that he played, that he did very well in Baltimore, winning a Super Bowl there, and then comes to Philadelphia and is imperative to that team leadership wise, that downfield receiving element, and just somebody that you could rely on in big moments. And he did that in the playoffs against Minnesota on that flea flicker from Nick Foles. And it was just a guy you wanted on your team. I never had anything bad to say about Torrey Smith, besides a few times that he had a few drops here and there. But hey, every good Eagles receiver between the years of 2011 to 2016 had their fair share of drops. So can't get on him too hard, you know. But he's a guy that was a pro's pro. Hats off to him on a good career, and just somebody that was imperative to being Super Bowl champs in Super Bowl 52. So I'm thankful that Torrey Smith came to town and got us a ring, and he'll always be an Eagle to me.
Two Super Bowls, too, by the way. I mean, he won one with Baltimore, so he was he had a really good career, and he was also very likable.
Yeah, quarter of his career, he won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's right. He got two rings and a very likable guy on social media, and his family, too. Had two of the cutest kids I've ever seen on national television when he went on NFL
Network.
They
love Carson Wentz, I know.
Yeah,
that.
That's right. So
talk about them talking about Carson.
I think the kids also helped him become a fan favorite in Philadelphia. So hats off to Torrey Smith on an 8-year career. This lead story on Locked On Eagles is brought to you by Peloton. Can't find a workout that keeps you engaged? Peloton is an immersive cardio experience with real-time features that will always keep you coming back. Get $100 off accessories when you purchase the Peloton bike and get a great cardio workout at home. Go to onepeloton.com and use our promo code LOCKEDON to get started. All right, Gino, coming up next, we're going to get into some defensive talk here. I think one of the keys is this Eagles defensive line against the Falcons offensive line. Minnesota really got after Matt Ryan last week. I think that was a key as to why the Falcons really got blown out in Minnesota. But when it gets down to the red zone, that's really where this defense for the Eagles can get a W on the road, which, like you said, this could be a trap game. It's going to be a hard-fought win on primetime football. Red zone defense will be the key. We'll get deeper into that coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. And, guys, we are sponsored today also by MyBookie. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet football this season, bet with MyBookie. Did you know you could bet on games after kickoff? That's right. If by the second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always just take the other side. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings, and no matter how you bet, the NFL season is always the best time of year. Join now, and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON. Visit MyBookie.ag today. Today, you play, you win, you get paid. We'll be right back. All right, everybody, we are back. Louis DiBiase and Gino Camilleri. This is Locked On Eagles. So, Gino, I kind of teased it before the break here. I think red zone defense is going to be crucial in this game. I mean, we know in 2017, the divisional round, the Eagles held the Falcons in the red zone to a field goal on the first drive. Turnover as time expires to advance to the next round. Last year, they did the same thing week one against Julio Jones once again on fourth and goal as time expired. Red zone defense is going to be a real big key here.
I'll just put it this way. This defense has done nothing in the past calendar and a half year to improve and to make me think that Julio Jones won't absolutely dominate between the 20s once again. And the game will come down to whoever succeeds the best in the red zone. And I think the point that you made, that the red zone defense may be the most important element of this game tomorrow, I don't think you're far off at all. Because what the Eagles allowed last week to a receiver core that is at the bottom of the pack for the NFL.
Promising but not proven at all, right?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. To now go up against a Julio Jones who just got his money, Mohamed Sanu, who's always a pro's pro, always contributes on offense for that team, and then a young Calvin Ridley and an Austin Hooper and a Devonta Freeman. That team has weapons tomorrow. So this Eagles team is going to have to do what they have done the last couple times against Atlanta, and that is shut down Devonta Freeman and make Matt Ryan beat you with his arm. That's what you're going to have to do. They've had his number the past couple years. You just have to keep them out of the red zone and have to keep them from converting, because I truly believe that Julio could go for 125-plus tomorrow, and Calvin Ridley could have maybe a 60, 70-yard game himself. But this team is going to have to lock it down when they get in the 20s and just keep it tight like they have been. That front four is imperative. Good news, though. Unfortunately, not great news for the player himself, Chris Lidstrom, who I was relatively high on coming out of college. He is injured, so that already kind of decimated Atlanta front is a little weaker than it was last week. So we were talking about this Eagles team not getting to the QB last week, even though they created a fair amount of pressures. This is the week they have to get there. You're going to have a Matt Ryan who's going to beat you with his arm, because I believe the run defense should be in for another big game tomorrow. I have nothing to lead me to believe that the last two times they played Atlanta and held Freeman at bay and not having Coleman now is a win for the Eagles. But how are they going to defend in the air? You just got to hope that Julio doesn't get behind them on a couple plays, because that could really be the dagger. And just hope Jim Schwartz learned from his errors last week.
Right, and the Vikings really got to Matt Ryan. Last week they had 4 sacks, and that was with Lindstrom in the lineup, so you take him out now, a promising rookie like you said, and that's going to make them even more susceptible. So if the Eagles can put that second half pass rush into a full game's worth this week, I think that's where you'll really find the success here for the defense. And I just think, like, red zone defense has been the reason they've been able to beat the Falcons the last two games, not just because of these, you know, goal line stands as time expired, but also, I mean, you look at the fourth and goal in the first half, right, where Jordan Hicks stops Devonta Freeman on a sweep to the left side on the 2-yard line. Rasul Douglas picks off Matt Ryan in the red zone in the fourth quarter in that same game. So the Falcons also had to settle for field goals on 2 other drives inside the 25. I mean, they only have 2 touchdowns against the Eagles the last two games, Geno. So, like, this is a really talented offense, and the Eagles have had a lot of success.
They have the luxury of a guy that's calling plays for Atlanta that I'm not even going to mention his name, because he's just a god-awful play caller. But we'll just say he was the coach at USC at one point in time, and his name may rhyme with Shmeev Shmarshmeejian, but he's not a very good play caller for that offense. And frankly, there's a lot of people around, like, NFL Twitter that just have absolutely berated Starkeesian for his play calling, and duly so. They have arguably the best trio of wide receivers in the NFL, and they've just struggled to consistently win on offense and in areas where they should win. And the red zone is an area where they should win, and they didn't even do that last week well against Minnesota. They looked very poor on offense last week, and I believe this Eagles defense is stronger than Minnesota's defense, and I believe the Eagles offense in an area where Minnesota really attacked Atlanta, and the run game has not as good of a run unit or as proven of a run unit as Minnesota has, but they have just as lethal of weapons in Miles Sanders and Jordan Howard, Corey Clement and Darren Sproles, who all could be in for big games. And if you could get that run game going, eat the clock and keep the ball out of Matt Ryan's hands and just have a couple stops and make Atlanta be efficient in their scoring, you could win this game. I think running the ball is going to be how this Eagles team wins, because everything is going to be underneath against that cover three Dan Quinn defense. It's something that he's done since his days in Seattle. And if they can run like Minnesota ran the ball, they're going to kill a ton of clock. They're going to put ease on the defense, allow them to be fresh against guys like Julio and Freeman, and hopefully just shut down the run and then see what you can do in the pass game. I'm interested to see how they line up at corner tomorrow. And if I had to guess, they're not going to change what they did from week one and just keep the corners on either side and see how it plays out with Julio.
Hold that thought, because I want to get into that coming up next year. Julio Jones is a big conversation we got to get into here next. How the Eagles can stop Julio. Can they stop him? What part of his game do they want to stop? And we'll go back into the last few games where Julio has had success and how much has he actually had against the Eagles. across the statistical category. So that's coming up right here on Locked On Eagles. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Today's podcast is sponsored by Blue Chew. Guys, this isn't just for all of you out there who can't perform. It's for anyone who wants that extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Listen up. It's Blue Chew. Blue like the color blue. It's prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So there's no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, none of that awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our Locked On Eagles listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment for free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's B-L-U-E, BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. BlueChew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast today. All right, everybody, we are back. Louis DiBiase and Gino Camilleri wrapping up this Saturday edition of Locked On Eagles. Gino, you were talking about it going into the break. Very curious to see how the corners go up against Julio Jones. I don't think they're going to... So I want them to shadow. When you have a star receiver, number one, like a Tyreek Hill, that's when I want one of your smaller, faster guys to go up against. You don't want Rasul Douglas on Tyreek Hill the entire game. Mm-hmm. And then when you have maybe a bigger wide receiver that's not as fast, that's when you use Rasul Douglas, right? If Alshon Jeffrey was on a different team, that would be a player that I want Rasul Douglas to probably shadow.
I would love
shadow
to see that matchup.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and it was a great battle all training camp long. It was one of the most fun ones that beat writers said that they watched. So, but for a guy like Julio that kind of thrives in both areas, for me, when you have a bunch of corners around the same skill level, at that point, I'm fine with kind of keeping everybody on the same side. And maybe just going, if one guy's having the most success against him, then you shadow him based on performance. But I think Julio is just so good with size and speed and everything about him. I mean, he's one of the most elite receivers I've ever seen. I think at that point, that's kind of the strategy here. And I think, though, no matter what, he's going to get his yards. It's, once again, can you stop him in the key situational moments when they get into the red zone? And not just that, too, but can you force Matt Ryan into exactly that, forcing Julio Jones the ball? Here's an interesting stat. Although Julio is going on five straight games of 100 receiving yards against the Eagles, Matt Ryan's numbers, Gino, when targeting Julio Jones against the Eagles since 2016 in these last three games, he's 29 of 51, a 56% completion percentage, 405 yards, no touchdowns, two picks, a 66.2 QBR. So yes, Julio's going to get his. Can you at least reduce that a little bit by hopefully playing up a little bit more, but also can you capitalize on when they target Julio in the game like they have, I think, in the past couple of games?
I think that one point that you kind of snuck in there, can they play up on him more, is key, because Julio is a guy that you have to throw off of his route. He is going to beat every single one of our corners off the release. He's a top three wide receiver for a reason. He's going to beat them in the stem, and he's going to beat them in the catch point and at the high point in the football. So in order to let the front four get to Matt Ryan to forego the ball getting to Julio Jones, press at the line, Lou. We have to see it. They said that the corners have to do a better job covering, and they is Jim Schwartz. So, Jim, take your own advice and put them at the line against Julio. Double cover him, bracket him off, because if you look at those plays in the red zone the last couple games against Julio, they played great in bracket coverage when they just did not allow him to win any bit of leverage and kept him underneath. So do the same thing. Bring Malcolm Jenkins down in coverage as well. Throw Rodney McLeod in there every now and then. Just don't allow easy yards for Julio Jones. Just don't let it happen, because if he gets into the open field, he has very good yards after the catch as well. So
he does.
He can beat you everywhere. Just don't let him get easy yards. If you're going to press at the line, play double coverage on him. It should be very simple, but don't let him get easy yards. Don't play 8 yards off the ball, because he'll catch it 5 yards in front of you and burn a 4-5 guy in Rasul Douglas up the line every single time. So you have to be physical with him, especially against a guy like Ronald Darby, who's not going to beat him in the open field if he has to tackle him one-on-one.
Yeah, that's the thing I'm concerned about, too, is Darby versus Julio in the open field. I mean, everybody says Darby had, like, a career game against the Falcons last year, week one, but Julio Jones ended up having 169 receiving yards. So, again, you hope, look, he's going to get his yards, but you got to reduce it from what it's been, and also continue to have these corners step up in big moments and just make plays on Julio Jones, though. Once again, they have gotten mistakes by Matt Ryan when he targets Julio. They've been able to – there's been some key plays that corners have taken down Julio Jones, and, of course, two of the biggest moments in – one of the biggest moments in Eagles history just 2 years ago. But at the same time, it's like – you also just need these corners to step up and just simply play better, too, regardless of if they're pressing at the line, regardless of where they're lining up. We need to see, and we want to see, Julio Jones against Sidney Jones, see Jones step up, see Rasul Douglas make plays on him size for size, see Darby try to emulate some of the success he had week one last year, because he did make some really good plays on Julio at the same time. So that's the other thing is just having these promising corners also just make plays and step up, and I think they do need to see that, because once again, like you said, man, Julio can make you pay anywhere on the field. So situationally, it will be really interesting to see how they go against trying to stop him, and I look forward to the battle once again. I think it's been a back-and-forth battle the past couple games, and then when it comes down to the big moments, the Eagles have actually been the ones that really get the upper hand.
So if we're going to break down the game plan for the defense tomorrow, it should be between the 20s, watch the last two games, and everything you did between the 20s, do the exact opposite. And then watch the past two games in the red zone and do the exact same thing you did in the red zone. And if you could piece that defensive game together, this Eagles team can hold the Atlanta Falcons. We know that they're not the most powerful offense that they were at one point in the NFL. They have holes. They have holes on the offensive line. If you can get to Matt Ryan, you can create turnovers, which you have seen the past couple of games against them. They are a susceptible team. You just have to go out there and execute on defense like we know that they can. And Jim has to quit with these questionable calls where it's third and eight and you play 12 yards off the line. And it's like, what are we doing here? And then it's like first and 10 and you're playing up and then you play bail. It's like, no, if you're going to play up, play bump and run, or at least let them get their hands on the wide receiver. You know, just whatever you do between the 20s, make sure it is not what you did the last two games against them. And you can come out on top in this game without a doubt.
And if the defensive line can get to Matt Ryan quickly, too, that's going to stop Julio Jones from making plays down the field. So I am very excited to see if the defensive line can emulate what they did in the second half against Washington and put that together in a four-quarter span here against Atlanta. And, Gino, I think they could do it. Once again, I think Minnesota's defense is great. It's got a lot of talent. Everson Griffin really went after Matthews last week at left tackle. And the Eagles, I mean, they have the similar, to me, better personnel up front with Derek Barnett, Fletcher Cox, Timmy Jernigan, Vinnie Curry, and of course, I don't know why I'm saying him last, but Brandon Graham probably saving the best for last. So I think it's a very favorable matchup in that way, too, that can help these corners, much like they did in the second half.
Yeah, you really want this team to establish the run and then just force this Atlanta team to pass, and then I really think you can get to Matt Ryan at that point, because they haven't really been a threat in the run game the last couple times they've played the Eagles, and the guy that was Tevin Coleman. I remember you can think back to that game last year and the year before and just think off of some big chunk plays that he got against this team. And Freeman isn't really a guy that you have to worry about in the receiving game, where the Eagles were susceptible against running backs the past couple times against Atlanta. So shut him down like you did before. Make Matt Ryan beat you with your arm. But the corners have to cover enough for the front four to get there, which they totally can against a susceptible front of the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, it goes both ways, right?
Just finish the play, and these guys with this high motor, they're going to get there. And if they start off hot and put together two halves, they should end up with four or five sacks, much like Minnesota did last week.
Going to be an exciting matchup, Gino. Sunday Night Football, Philadelphia Eagles taking on the Atlanta Falcons in Atlanta. We'll be back probably Monday, since it's a later game, Gino. We'll play it by ear, but stand by.
Worst part about living on the East Coast is the late nights, you know.
But no matter what, you guys will have a podcast on Monday recapping the game. Hopefully it's a big Eagles win on primetime football. We've had six other podcasts this week, so make sure you subscribe to the show on any podcast provider or check them all out on LockedOnEagles.com, so you'll get your full fix of Eagles-Falcons right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. And the conversation always continues on Twitter at LockedOnBirds, at DiBiaseLOE, and at Gino_LOE. For my co-host Gino Camilleri, I'm Louis DiBiase. Signing off. As always, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.
Fly Eagles fly.